You've found an encore presentation of the Taxi Stand Hour.
All right, all right, all right.
On Radio TFI. Hi, this is Ed. Thanks for tuning in. What you're about to listen to is our show from June 3rd, 2017. Unfortunately, this outing was fraught with technical difficulties from start to finish. The upside was the gentleman that called in, Justin LaPlante, my goodness, what a wonderful phone call, and we certainly enjoyed it. I had to leave early that day. John was out in his cab. This was just, with the exception of our caller, a disaster from start to finish. Feel free to listen to it. If you get through it, you're a better man than we are, Gunga Din. I was there and I couldn't get through it. So thank you very much. It's a little shorter than an hour. We're going to pat it out at the end with a little music. So enjoy.
Ladies and gentlemen, this tag team match is scheduled for one fall with a one-hour time limit. No disqualification, no holds barred. Introducing first, from San Francisco, California, Uber CEO, Travis Kalanick. His partner from New York City, now residing in Washington, D.C., the President of the United States, Donald Trump. Their opponents, champions of the professional taxi drivers worldwide. First from St. Paul, Minnesota, John Gannon. His partner from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, is Van Ness. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the...
great. Yeah.
Hello. Well, I'm not quite sure what's going on. Oh, goodness, goodness, goodness. So, you know what I'm going to do here, guys? I'm going to cut the show off and do it from my... I was going to use a Bluetooth connection to my tablet, and it didn't quite work that way. So I'm going to shut it down. I will bring it right back here in just 1 second. Here we go. Are you there?
Can you hear me, sir?
I hear you, sir.
All right, very good. We have a caller or two on the line. All right, let's see if we can get to the caller. How about that?
Okay, let's do that.
Calling. But while we've had problems in the past, it's usually never this severe. Okay,
all right,
caller,
well,
you're on.
Code.
Hey, guys, do you know who this is calling you?
No.
No.
This is Justin LaPlante here in Madison, Wisconsin.
Oh, now wait a minute. Now you're from
the
Worldwide...
Yes, I'm the administrator of Worldwide Anti-Uber Society and also the owner-operator of RideSafeWorld.com.
Oh,
okay.
Welcome, sir.
Yes, I've been wanting to get on your show for a while now, and I haven't had a lot of time as I've been working overtime. Just listened to your program yesterday about the few options you were going over for cab companies to take advantage of TNC laws.
Yes.
And I had some input for you guys, if you'd be interested.
Absolutely.
Always.
Well, I noticed from your show yesterday that you were talking about how a cab company could access a TNC law in a state where they have been passed. And we have quite a few ideas about this. I don't know if you guys have seen the website I created called RideHub.com.
I have not.
I have not either.
It's spelled Ride with R-Y-D-E. HUB.com. What this is, it is a free public domain app that we've been in development with for about a year and a half now. And what it is a free public domain app that establishes not only a dispatch system for your own personal operator system or your company, but it also operates off your phone as an application for RideHub. What this would do is any individual operating a vehicle or a cab company or individually can use it to get ride hails from anyone on it. There's no requirement for a credit card. You can get cash transactions if you want. It does not do billing through the app unless the customer wants it.
So you're kind of fading. I don't know. Maybe your headset or your microphone.
Check. Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you, yes. You were just starting to go. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Continue, sir.
Okay. Well, anyway, we've been in development of this app, and I noticed yesterday you guys were talking about how you could apply a cab company to take advantage of the TNC laws that have been created without violating the municipal laws over medallion systems and cab regulations. And I just had some input on that. And I was just wondering if you had any initial questions before I rant or anything like that.
Go ahead, Ed.
Okay,
I went to the website, and I'm guessing it's going to be more to come.
Yes,
but
it's
I'm
not
very
controlled development.
I got you.
Right now, we're testing the app with another gentleman you guys may know of by the name of Sean Stoltz in Dover, Delaware.
Yes.
Sean is right now doing preliminary testing of the application as far as a person hailing him with the application on their smartphone and him executing a ride. And this is just an initial testing. It is going to take a few months, and we are still looking for cab companies who would like to partner in developing this. There's absolutely no charge for you to be involved, and we give you all the software for free, and we can even, right out of the gate, give you a complete dispatch list that will perform all your waybill and your driver log for free, and at the end of the shift, it gives you a nice, crisp, clear record of your entire trip without having to write down in your log anymore.
Well, that certainly sounds interesting. No question about it. Really like to get into that a little bit more at some point. I got to say, on top of our own technical issues today, you've had a lot of noise in your background.
Yeah,
I can hear you.
I hear a lot of noise on your side, too. I might...
It's a little difficult to understand just sometimes, but we're getting the gist of it. And I like the direction you're going, at least initially what I've heard here. Unfortunately, right now, the tech industry as a whole is just shooting themselves in the foot because everybody wants to be top seller. Nobody's willing to.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to have the first laugh, but everybody wants to be fair at. That's in my experience.
Oh, yeah.
With the cab company, I was.
Well, that's one of the things we're attacking in development of RideHub is the one factor that goes against what most cab companies want is everybody's trying to develop their own app for their own city.
Right.
As you may have seen, this doesn't work. There isn't a single individual app that one cab company has made that becomes popular because people are coming in from out of town.
Absolutely.
They're not going to download Austin Yellow Cab and then fly to L.A. and expect to download another app for another cab company.
I agree with you. I've been saying that myself.
This is why... Yeah. This is why we're making the app completely public domain, absolutely nonprofit, and giving it to cab companies while only operating off of if a cab company wants to partner for advertisement or something like that. All we're basically doing is charging for operating costs, which right now our operating costs are just under $500 a year.
You said the operating
costs are
under $500 a year?
Under $500 a year right now. When we add more cities, it kind of grows a little bit. But since we have unlimited server space on our website deal, things are pretty cost effective.
Let me interject here real quick. And I appreciate what you're doing. And the thing is like Ed said, everybody wants to be the top dog of the taxi app, and not to mention that there are a couple of taxi apps right now that are somewhat nationwide. Curb comes to mind, and a couple more like that. But I think it's a lot simpler than that, to tell you the truth. I think that personally, if you respond to an order for service, whether it be by an app, our company has its own app locally, whether it be by somebody sending you a text, or somebody quite frankly calling you on the phone, you are now technically in a transportation network. There's no two ways about it. I mean,
that's what I was about to say.
And that's the way to look at it.
The whole legal situation, and I have a history as a paralegal. I've been with the situation with Uber locally for the last 4 years. I've done Senate and Assembly testimonies in the state of Wisconsin, as well as the city and several other municipalities here. And I've gone through the state-by-state PNC laws that Uber has effectively themselves written to notice. The PNC law in Wisconsin is a carbon copy of the one that Mike Pence recently passed in Indiana. Subsequently, the one that was passed in Delaware is almost a carbon copy of the same law, too, because Uber lobbyists are the ones actually writing the laws, handing them off to the representatives and having them pass the law. There's one major problem with the law that will allow cab companies to access it and, in effect, manipulate it to put Uber out of business. The primary one being that the definition for regulation, like in states like Wisconsin and Delaware, hands regulation off to kind of a third-party government office, like here in Wisconsin, it's called the ESP Act. In Delaware, it's another very obscure state office. And the one thing about all these offices, given the regulation, is that in the law, the regulatory requirement for those institutions is very minimal. And it is not very well written because Uber knows that there is a hard-line regulation from any state office. They're going to run into the insurance problem. So, in effect, you can have a cab company, a full fleet. You can have them registered in each municipality with medallions. Those vehicles can be registered in your own city as a medallion, as a taxi. And you can also register the vehicle as a TNC vehicle without changing any of the exterior markings, without having to dump your medallion or your permit for the local structure, and still operate under the law, completely legally, but with also the addition that you're now a TNC.
Yeah, and that was exactly my point. What brought me to this idea is in our city, or with our company, we have three taxi cab companies underneath our umbrella, and we also have a fourth company that is basically the name of our app is iHail, and we actually have about 100 iHail cars running around, which I had to plant the seed in the owner's brain about this, but there's your TNC right there. Register those iHail cars as TNC cars, and then the whole blight, you become suddenly now, as you're registered as a TNC, now your whole fleet is registered as a TNC.
Exactly. It's very simple. You're not even violating the law. You could take a taxicab with a medallion registered as a TNC under one of these laws, and you wouldn't be violating the law at all. You could operate it within the medallion system, and you could operate it within the TNC.
Absolutely.
I've written up a lot of documents for cab companies. Right now I'm actually talking to, you might have heard of a lawsuit from Uber drivers in Atlantic City against Atlantic City Yellow Cab.
I have seen that, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, the owner's name, it's not Maurice, Murray. I don't have his last name offhand. I spoke to him a few weeks ago. It's been kind of hard to get the documentation to them, but when the Uber drivers sued them because some of their drivers were putting Lyft and Uber stickers on the cabs, now, when that initially happened, they were going to deny it. I called them up right away and said, don't deny it. What you're doing is not illegal. Own it. For one thing, Uber has not stepped up to back any of these drivers in their lawsuit against Yellow of Atlantic City. They are completely staying away from the situation, and that is very telling to the legality of the lawsuit itself and how they're ultimately going to lose the lawsuit, the drivers who are pressing. Because Uber is not stepping up, because they already know that day one in court, the defense can bring up the insurance issue, the two contracting issues with the customer TOS and the driver TOS, and a judge is going to laugh it out before a jury even sees it. Secondly,
that makes perfect sense.
They also have a perfect defense because 2 years ago, you may remember that Uber lost a lawsuit, which means that they can no longer call their booking fee a safety fee. Now, this goes a lot longer with them and also Lyft and every other TMC out there, because they can now no longer legally claim to be safer than any other form of commercial ground transportation because of that lawsuit. That is why they now have to call it a booking fee, why they cannot tell their customers or anyone in their advertisements that any of these fees are for safety or insurance.
Correct.
It's very easy for the defense for a cab driver to say, look, I put that sticker for Lyft and Uber on my vehicle because I want those customers to get in an insured vehicle, not an uninsured piece of crap.
Now, as I understand those vehicles aren't registered through Uber's system, are they?
You mean the cab drivers who were slapping the stickers on their vehicles?
Yes.
Yeah, none of them were registered through Uber. What they were doing was putting Uber and Lyft stickers on their vehicles. These are vetted taxis with not just Atlantic City Yellow, but a couple of other local companies and a couple private owners, unmarked vehicles that are livery vehicles registered there, that were using Lyft and Uber stickers at the airports so they could get fares. And people were just flocking to them because they don't care. You know, oh, it's an Uber, I'll get in it. There's no fraud in that, because the second that customer gets in your vehicle, you're a livery vehicle. You have an actual insurance policy, not one of these stupid surplus line policies that Uber and Lyft use. You're protecting that customer by doing that. And that's the perfect defense. That's instantaneously how those cab drivers pressing this lawsuit are going to lose. They're going to have to face a jury and say, well, okay, yeah, they were picking up customers and they actually have insurance and we don't. So what? No jury is going to hold that up in court.
Justin, you mean the Uber drivers are going to lose, not the cab drivers?
Yes, the Uber drivers pressing this lawsuit are going to lose this case. They've already backed down on one of the issues in a TRO, a temporary restraining order that they tried to press, which would have effectively stopped the entire operations of Atlantic City Yellow in Atlantic City. Of course, it got booted, and Uber has still not stepped up to back up the Uber drivers in Atlantic City in the lawsuit. They're staying very far away from it because they know all these things already.
I have one theory on that as it is. Here's the deal. If Uber gets involved, that means that they are condoning their drivers that are, you know,
his employees.
Not only that, but they're also condoning the Uber driver's actions of actually sitting curbside or near a taxi queue or whatever and picking up passengers without getting called.
Which is against the driver contract. And also, it goes even further to that end, because Uber will have to sit down and explain their insurance situation in a courtroom, which is something they have avoided for the last 9 years.
It wouldn't be a very long testimony.
I don't know if you guys knew this. I was actually in court with Uber in 2014. I believe the article is posted on RideSafe World, but a local manager in Madison tried to take me to court. This is an Uber manager by the name of Drew Lake, who actually still works here as the local regional manager in Madison. They found out that I was helping the city attorney investigate where their location was because they had been hiding it. And at that time, Uber was illegal in Madison, Wisconsin. They were openly violating the city ordinance. Police were cracking down on them. And they were hiding their business location. So the city attorney wanted to serve them. An Uber driver was testifying to me on the insurance situation. So when we were in the city attorney's office, the Uber driver said, yeah, I was just in the office the other day. And we both, like, perked our heads up and said, what, the Uber office? Where is it? And the guy said, well, I'll take you there after this interview. So we go down, and it's not even two blocks away from our city hall, on the other side of the state capitol, in this building right across the street, we found the Uber office. I go upstairs into the public lobby. I take a couple of pictures, and all of a sudden, the regional manager pops out. He's like, "What are you doing here? Who are you?" I said, "It's none of your business. I'm in a public hallway. I'm just taking pictures. And the pictures you have hung in a public hallway saying it's an Uber office." Then all of a sudden, he says my name to me. He knows who I am because I've been following the drivers around and photographing them while they're violating the law. So 2 days later, they filed a TRO against me and tried to get a restraining order. And in his deposition, he said that I physically threatened him. He said that I would have a gang of people waiting outside for him. And this whole time, he didn't know that I had a recording device on me the entire time. So Uber's really expensive legal team here. It's a firm by the name of Howley and Kao in Milwaukee. They're also one of the skeeviest legal firms in the state. They were representing him. I marched in there with my lawyers from Hawks Quindell. We had the recording of the conversation, which was going to, we had already submitted to run against his deposition. He didn't even show up in court. They tried to say that he was there in court. They lied. And so we went up to bat. They didn't show up, and their first motion in the case was to pull out and leave. The judge asked them, "Are you representing Uber? Is this Uber?" They said yes, and she smirked and scoffed a little bit before bouncing him out on their ass. And that's the last I've ever heard from Uber legally.
Well, you know, the thing is I've been kind of a muckraker up here with Uber's local office, and in a way, it kind of bit me in the ass because I had a personal situation involving Uber, and they pretty much just blew me off. At this point in time, I don't think I could even sign up for an Uber account if I wanted to, because you know I have been, you know, myself and Ed and, you know, dozens of other cab drivers have been on them via social media, and they aren't social media savvy. I mean, I know Ed and I have had this discussion before, but they, you know, yes, they look for keywords and stuff like that, but they're not dumb when it comes to blasting them on social media.
Well, they generally stay away from it, and they let their drivers do a lot of shit on social media that has gotten them in a lot of trouble recently. I don't know if you saw, but three of their top YouTube posters, the Uber man, the rideshare guy, and the rideshare professor. They're the top three YouTube Uber driver posters. They have millions of followers, all Uber drivers. Well, all three of them got together last month, and they tried to threaten me with a state lawsuit.
Really?
One of them impersonated his lawyer in L.A., sent me a bunch of documents. Said that I was going to get a TRO coming. So I called up the L.A. County Clerk of Courts, checked their docket. And these guys didn't know that I had a legal background. I knew how to call up a clerk of courts and check a docket. There was nothing on the docket with my name. I contacted the lawyer's name that they used, and it turned out to be a real lawyer that one of them had used a decade ago in a divorce hearing when his wife dumped him. And took the kids. That gentleman is Torsten Kuhner, the rideshare professor. He's a con artist who's actually been prosecuted in L.A. County. He's very famous on YouTube. He runs what he calls the Uber University. He got kicked off of the Uber app after this happened. I reported it to YouTube. And also subsequently, the Uber man got kicked off the app too that same week for helping him process the state paperwork and sending threats to them. But that has been like the pinnacle of Uber drivers social media over the last 5 years, these three people. And now none of them can drive on the Uber app.
You know, I'm just going to say this, that the rideshare guy, I've seen a couple of his videos, and one of his videos actually is the one who gave me this idea about taxi companies basically being TNCs.
Yeah, he does have a few good ideas.
Because he was, you know, of course, you know, he was bragging, you know, that, you know, the ride shares are kicking your cab, you cab drivers around like, you know, like government mules. But, you know, he, I'm paraphrasing here, but basically it's that same mentality. It's that, you know, okay, well, you want to be like us, here's what you do type thing. Well, you know, don't be careful what you ask for, because the one thing that taxi companies can offer is a local presence. They have a local association with their drivers. They know, in many cases, know who their drivers are. And once we can get that mentality, okay, yeah, well, we're a ride share as well. We're a ride share as well, but we're a local ride share. Call it what you want to call it, but we're a local ride share. Any issues arise, we'll take care of it. Ed's got to depart here. You know, listen, it's been great talking to you about this. I got a couple more things I got to cover on my end here, and then I actually, believe it or not, have another call I have to get. So it's kind of funny kind of doing this stuff from the road here today.
I should get going too, but the main reason I wanted to contact you guys today is, I don't know if you've heard, but I'm running for governor in Wisconsin. And
you are.
I'm running for governor of the state of Wisconsin. We actually already have the Democratic candidate beat in polling, but that's kind of easy in this state. And we have actually a pretty good chance against Walker. But since I have to step out of this, step into politics, I kind of have to step out of the activism role of the cab company. So I was wanting to ask you and your listeners if anyone would be interested in taking over what we're doing on Ride Safe World, as well as the Ride Hub app. I'm looking forward to finding some volunteers and people who would like to take over the project.
I will definitely put that out, and if you want to put a tweet out towards that or a Facebook post, I'll definitely forward it through our network. By all means, and keep in touch with what you're doing. What about Sean? Is Sean interested in going on
Sean is taking over. You might notice if you go to ridesafeworld.com, Sean has actually started writing articles for the website now, and he's also maintaining the database of Uber driver license plates that we collect.
You're doing that. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to be reporting those to the National Insurance Fraud Board as well as Carfax, so none of these guys can go turn around these piece of crap cars to unwary buyers. And also, we're going to report to their insurance companies so they, you know, get back charged for illegal and fraudulent commercial use of the vehicle, and or more likely lose their insurance policy. Which we're waiting for a few thousand more submissions before we actually submit this fully. But I'm looking forward. In the next couple months, I still have up until I have to start running for governor. We want to finish this database, get it out to the proper authorities, and it will also go to prove how many of these drivers we've collected actually don't have insurance, which we've already estimated is a very solid 97%.
I wouldn't doubt it at all.
And those are Uber and Lyft drivers out there operating without insurance, completely committing insurance fraud on their own companies, and also warranty fraud on their warranty and drivers.
Exactly.
But yeah, we're looking for people to take over those reins. Sean's doing as much as he can, but he is an independent cab operator owner in Delaware, which is a lot of time on his hands. We're looking for app developers, we're looking for people who want to write articles, we're looking for database researchers, data miners, whatever we can get.
All right. Well, we'll definitely keep you in mind, and like I said, keep us posted here, and, you know, send us a tweet or, you know, or even on Facebook or whatnot, and, you know, we'll see what we can do on our end here.
That'd be awesome. And I've listened to a lot of your shows. You guys are awesome. You're keeping a very
technical
touch. Yeah, it's tough. I I do live casting and a lot of tech work. Maybe I can help you out on that end. I can give you guys a podcast page on ridesafe.com if you want that.
Sure, why not?
It's a podcasting software that will sync with what you're using now, and it might actually work a little bit better than what you've got. It's totally free. I'll have it for you guys in a couple weeks.
Sounds beautiful. All right,
yeah,
thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks for talking. I'm sorry, I turned into kind of a chatterbox, but while I had time, I just wanted to get that out there, and thanks for having me on.
Thank you
for calling. Good enough. Thanks for calling. Yep.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Hey, now, Ed, you got to go. How much time do you have left on you before you have to split?
I got about 5 minutes.
Do you have anything really on your chest you got to let off before we go here?
I had a bunch of stuff that I was going to get into, but not now.
Not going to happen, huh? I'm probably going to truncate the show. I do want to bring up a couple of non-cab issues here. First off, of course, you've seen the images of beheaded Trump held up by Kathy Griffin, I'm sure.
I will say this. I've always been a fan of Kathy Griffin. I think she's hilarious, but she went too far. That was pointless. Yeah, she deserves everything that's coming her way right now.
I have a tendency to agree with you. You know, here's the deal. I don't necessarily think she's all that funny. I do like her activist stance, you know, the way she participates in the community and what have you. But she just shot all that down. There was no point in doing that. The sad part about it was she was actually holding up somebody else's work. This was another artist. I forget the guy's name, but there was another artist, and she basically, you know, why would you do that? Okay, for one thing, you know, say whatever you want to say about Donald Trump. He also has a 10-year-old kid, and this 10-year-old kid is probably as pampered and is probably hidden from from the world as it possibly can be. Now, this poor kid is going to get traumatized seeing this picture with, and a good likeness, by the way, of her of his father.
Look, this kid's surrounded by Secret Service agents all day long now. He's had to live his whole life living in the same place as Donald Trump. He ain't traumatized by now, believe me. Well, he's probably already well.
Well, that's a good point. My only thing that I want to compare this to is you know, all those right wingers are up in arms about it, and you know, again, rightfully so. But my question is where were you fucking people when there was all this social media about Barack Obama, you know, looking resembling an ape or hanging from a noose
or
any of that? Where were you fuckers then? You know, you're not up in our, you weren't crying foul then. As a matter of fact, you were applauding. So don't be too surprised if there aren't some people that are stupid, in my opinion, that aren't applauding Kathy Griffin. And there are people that are standing by her. Matter of fact, our own Senator Al Franken here in Minnesota has a couple of events where she's going to be involved.
No, he canceled those. He disinvited her.
He uninvited her, though. I got you. All right. I didn't know.
Young man, I'm going to play close, and I guess we're going to cut it short today.
Don't play the close. I got a couple more minutes. I'm going to get a couple more things off my chest real quick. I'll take care of it.
You've got about 20 minutes.
All right, take her easy, Ed.
All right,
yep,
thanks, everybody. I was going to talk a little bit about Radio TFI. We're going to talk about that next week. We are we finished painting the walls and all that. We're just rearranging furniture right now. We are this close. This close.
Sounds beautiful. Sounds great.
All right.
All right,
everybody,
my friend.
All right, John. Take care. Bye.
Yep. Bye-bye. Okay, a couple other things here real quick I want to touch on. By the way, if you remember us talking about the fake Uber driver here in Minnesota that was picking up fares, and I contend that this is happening. This happens all over. This, you know, this is not something that's a first-time thing. And quite frankly, they have to get busted by a customer before really anybody before Uber will do for it. But I'm gonna play you this clip. This is from a video that a rider. It'll explain itself. Here it comes.
Uber account say, is your name Angela?
That's my wife.
So your wife's name is Angela. The Uber account comes up as Angela. You can't do that. And she said that she was just going to send you out to drive the Uber. So, well, I mean, we're three girls. We're not getting in an Uber car with a guy that is not Angela.
Yeah, I understand.
Here, I'll come over here and we'll talk about it.
At that point in time, she's inspecting the car that's all bashed in on the right fender.
Can you roll the window down? So where did you get this car? Well, you can't. When's the last time you got inspected by Uber? What? Because you can't drive a car like this. Uber wouldn't let you drive this car. Right? Uber won't let you have a car that looks like this. Right? I think you better, I don't think that we're going to get in your car, but thank you for checking. When did this accident happen on your car? I'm just going to put it to you straight. Right now, we're waiting for a girl named Angela in a Honda Accord. You show up with a car that looks like it just got stolen and it's beat to shit, and you're not Angela.
Oh, yeah.
So,
you're totally right. That's my life.
Okay, well, I don't think you can do that with Uber. But thanks for coming. We're going to cancel, and please don't give us a bad rating.
Now, that was funny in its own right, because at the end she says, don't give us a bad rating. Now, I did invite this young lady, and I'll leave her name out because it seems like she decided not to join us. But, anyways, she didn't want a bad rating. Now, I'm not 100% sure that you can do that. I mean, that if a ride cancels, that you can give the person a rating to begin with. So, I'm not sure on that. Oh, man. Well, listen, I wanted you to hear that for those who didn't see the video that's on Twitter and Facebook. I want you to hear that real quick. I tell you, it happens more than you think, and I'll guarantee you there is at least a few instances badly. Passenger getting sexually assaulted, passenger getting robbed and what have you. And it's something that Uber has a very loose collar on. Now, I will admit, once they found out about it, they corrected the situation. They took that particular account off the, or they suspended that account. So it isn't like they didn't do anything. But, that notwithstanding, it's until they're caught, it's real easy for them to slip through the cracks. Folks, I'm going to go ahead and we're going to go ahead and truncate this as I'm pulling up on the call that I'm supposed to pick up. says, yes, I still have to make a living as a cab driver. So we thank you for joining us. Until next week, I guess we'll see you. Be safe out there, my friends. Bye-bye.
Come out tonight! type thing. Don't you know I'm coming? Everybody say,
does he have a lot of chutzpah?
I have no life.
I'm dying over here.
I can have an orgasm just driving down I-95. Ow!
No more sucking, please.
I don't know what it is, but it's moving.